I'll ask if you take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10. And I want to talk a little bit about verse 2 with some other verses that will throw light on it. Luke chapter 10, verse number 2. We'll start here and hopefully get back here to end up. Heavenly Father, talk to us. Help us to realize the necessity for more laborers, prepared, burdened laborers, to be able to take on the load of your harvest fields. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 10, verse number 2. Would you read that verse together for me now?
Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest.
Now we've heard this verse explained. The issue of laborers, men of activity, Brother Mark covered several weeks ago. There's a desperate need. The fields are ready. The fields are great. The need is great. But there's a shortage on laborers. Now, we're told in this verse, pray ye. But that's a command. As Jesus had stated in Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach gospel to every creature. That's a command, but it's just as much a command to pray laborers to go into all the world and preach gospel to every creature. Vast shortage of laborers. The need is growing. At the time of Christ, there were perhaps 250, 300 million people estimated on planet Earth. Little less than the population of the United States today. Brother Harold was checking a detail this morning, and in the early 1600s, there were perhaps 500 to 600 million people on planet Earth. Now the numbers are up in the billions. I'm not sure what the last estimate was, 5 or 6 billion people. The need is growing. Places that once had the gospel are losing it. For convenience, for comfort, for compromise, for worldly approval, they'll sacrifice not always the whole thing at once, but a little here, little there. John was telling us that there are churches that will forfeit all their doctrine, all their heritage, all their practice, and change their name. Somebody comes by and offers to raise money and send them a preacher, won't cost them anything. Now that's rather sudden change. Most of those had already sacrificed their gospel. But these are things happening in our nation. There are churches having to go together to continue to move forward or to hold their own. There are some of them, another death or two, and they'll have to close their doors. They're at the end of the string and having trouble holding on. Jesus said in his day the need was great. He put it in the eternal book. The need is great. Always has been, always shall be. But don't quit, don't give up because there's a great need. Do something about it. We're commanded to pray about the need. The need of needy souls and the need for proper laborers, and that God would send the laborers into the harvest fields. Now, if you look at verse 1, you'll find Jesus stated this when he was getting ready to send out 70 before his face where he was headed. He'd already sent 12 out. They'd come back. Now he's going to send 70 others to go out. He was thinking and acting on an idea of increase of laborers, not increasing just one here or one there, but greatly increasing from 12 and then add 70 more on top of that. We face a declining mission field presence and a declining number of gospel preaching churches and gospel preaching men, and churches having difficulty finding somebody to continue on where somebody before had been there and may have gone home to heaven. Real shortages, shortages. But the shortages are our fault. You can say, well, these are the days we live in. They've never been great days. The problem with these days is passivity and disobedience. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers to get at it, not lazy people to suck up money from wherever they can like a vacuum sweeper and spend it for their own pleasures. No, we stand against that. We try to make sure we don't get involved in that. Where are the laborers? At missions conference, we look at the ages of our laborers. We're short in the 20s, starting to get thin in the 30s. But we do have those 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. That speaks eloquently to the need for another generation of those to be saved, prepared, experienced as laborers that can be thrust in. The need's growing. And at this time, the doors are opening. Doors we prayed about for 15 years are starting to open there in Brazil. And while the laborers, for health's sake, may have to slow down a little or die of overexhaustion, the need is increasing, and they're already weary in the load they have. I'm here to tell you the plans in Brazil at this point are to reach children in schools that come from places we would not be safe or even able to get to. You imagine lost children from lost homes with no real knowledge of God, creation, the Bible, or a merciful Savior who could save. And they are allowed in the public schools to have a Bible class once a week for an hour. But can we meet the need? No. No. At this point, the plan seems to be one Bible lesson a month in the school. That's it. They'll take one group one week, another group another week, another group third week, and the fourth week try to recover. The doors are so many, and the laborers are so few. The only thing we have left to do is pray. But what a mighty thing to do. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Now, with these thoughts in mind, would you temporarily turn on over to chapter 11? Chapter 11. It's interesting that we're commanded to pray in chapter 10, and we're given details on how to pray in chapter 11. These are things to think about. It's not just sort of pray general or on occasion or rarely, but there's a direction in the Holy Spirit put the material back to back for our benefit. All right, chapter 11, would you read verse 1 for me now? It was a common thing to be taught to pray. John had taught his disciples. Jesus has said, you need to pray. And what did Jesus do? He didn't back off. He went ahead and prayed. And they heard him praying, saw him praying, and said, we've a lot to learn. Lord, teach us to pray. Not just what to pray or how to pray, but to actually get involved in the business of prayer. All right, verse number 2 now. He said, here's a pattern for you. Focus first on your special relationship. You have a Father, and he's in heaven. He's capable of anything and everything, and he's the one who told you, pray for laborers. Pray for laborers for the advancement of his kingdom. Pray for laborers that his will be done here. He has laborers by the hordes in heaven, crowds of angels and saints, but here he needs some laborers. Pray them out unto the harvest field. All right, verse number 3 now. Pray for provision. Not only for ourselves, but for those that are going. For they'll not be able to earn their way in most cases. And they'll need to have to be able to eat and maintain themselves. Verse number 4 now. Oh, there's an evil world around. There's temptation to ignore the command. Pray for laborers. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest. There's a matter of sin. In Corinthians, God had the Apostle Paul write, awake to righteousness, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Say, well, I can't reach everybody. No, but you can pray for those you can't reach. And pray for somebody to reach them also. Them not having the knowledge of God is not God's fault, it's ours. And we need to wake up and be at it. That's what the scriptures say, wake to righteousness and sin not. Some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Can't twist that around to escape, can we? All right, verse number 5, is it? Would you read that now?
And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves?
We learn about prayer by looking at the Father and ourselves. We learn about prayer by looking at a friend and the needs we have. Verse 6 now.
For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.
We go with empty hands. Oftentimes we talk about the raising of hands. That's not the like a ball game type thing. But the raising of hands like a beggar. In my hand is nothing to bring. They're empty hands, but there's a source of supply. And he said, I have a need, but I can't meet it. Oh, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Verse number 7, is it? Yes. Would you read that now?
And then he who went there shall answer and say,
Oh, sometimes human friends let us down with the most curious of excuses. Verse number 8. Oh, we need to learn the lesson of importunity. Sticking with it. It's not a rare or occasional request, but a continual requesting to get the need. Verse 9 now.
And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Oh, if we could get hold of the invitation to pray. He says, pray. And if you ask, if you'll seek, if you'll knock, you can receive. There's a promise. He's promised to hear the prayer. He's promised to answer, promised to do more than a human would do. Verse number 10 now. Oh, asketh, seeketh, knocketh. That's the old English. And how it speaks to our hearts. The ETH means didn't do it just once, didn't do it just twice, but got to doing it and doing it and doing it, like the importunate person with their neighbor. We go to God and we ask and ask and ask. We seek and seek and seek. We knock and knock and knock on the heaven's gates. In prayer, we're to pray, not just toss up a request and walk off. Some people say, well, God knows, you don't have to tell him a second time. Truth is, you didn't have to tell him first time. He knew the need. But he wonders, how concerned are you? How concerned am I? Are we going to set to asking for laborers as we've been commanded? Are we going to start seeking laborers to pray for specifically to be sent out? Are we going to knock for God to do the sending and the providing and enabling of them? Are we really interested in praying for laborers for the lost in darkness all over the face of the globe? I think we're ready now for verse 12, is it? 11. Would you read 11 now? Oh, we have a heavenly Father. And if an earthly father will do right, what do you think our heavenly Father is going to do? He said, pray. And God's not going to play games or destroy you. Just set to praying and praying. Verse 12 now. In verse 13. Oh, we need the Holy Spirit to help us, to help others as laborers, to stir and to move mightily. For without the Spirit, nobody will be born again. Without the Spirit, there can be no clear understanding of the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit can work despite what a person's age might be. We need to pray much for this to occur. Our Heavenly Father knows our need, and he said, pray. And he said, my son gave you a pattern, an example, structure, requests, and illustrations. Pray. Now back to chapter 10 and verse 2. We've seen a little of instruction for praying in many areas, but specifically chapter 10, verse number 2. Would you read that verse again for me now? It sounds as if Jesus didn't count this an iffy business, but a real business. It's almost as if the Lord of the harvest is waiting for our praying to thrust laborers out. Now, when they go, they will leave a vacuum, for they've not been lazy or just sitting. They've already been laboring. They're men of activity, men of accountability, men of passion and concern. And he sends them out to the harvest fields. It's been my experience when he does that, he raises up others to fill their shoes in the local church. Generally, if a church can send somebody out and not hurt the church, they sent the wrong one. They need to send somebody who's going to leave a vacuum. And we pray for laborers to fill that vacuum so there can be more laborers to send out. This becomes much of the process of the church and the functioning, the providing, producing, developing of laborers and praying them out into the harvest fields. Luke 10 2. The last several weeks, I received word of what the brethren are doing in Brazil. There's a national need. We're operating in one corner of one state with enormous need just there. But the brethren there, looking at Luke 10 2, believe what I've just told you. This is a command needs to be fulfilled. And there's a God waiting to hear and then provide. And they need more laborers. So those that were interested have come up with a simple idea. So simple yet profound that I feel ignorant that I never thought that direction. They have in Brazil a marvelous piece of technology called cell phone. You think we're behind on that? No. They set the alarm on their cell phone, not everybody, but many, to the time 10:02 each day. Why do you suppose they took 10:02 for time for a little alarm? You have it. And so they have their cell phone ring or vibrate or however they have it set at 10:02. Now, Hannah's phone, I must be honest, stayed on Brazil time, so it was ringing at 8:02 at my house. But that's all right. If you want yours at 8:02 and pray for the need in Brazil, you have at it. But daily, they're reminded of the command of Luke 10:2 and the need to be at it. They don't pray about the economy then. They don't pray about their own economy. They don't pray for the lost people they're burdened at that time. Time for that some other time. At 10:02, they have one great burden. Lord, send laborers. Not a general request for laborers somewhere, some people, somehow. The work I'm in. At the church, we may need another Sunday school teacher send us laborers. We have a village we want to evangelize. Send us laborers to do that. Specific needs, specific ministries, and specific laborers. They may look at a child or a teen or an adult and pray they become a laborer and then be sent out. Or one that's already laboring would go to meet these needs. I've mentioned this to several, and it was an idea that seemed almost to have immediate approval. Not asking for an hour, though if you want to give an hour praying for laborers, this pastor's not going to get in your way. But a moment of prayer, if you work a job or you're in school, you may not be able to pray then, but you'll have a reminder as you turn the alarm off, and I need to get to it later. But if you can take time, traveling, studying, working around the house, whatever, at 10:02, wouldn't it be a great thing if there were a dozen or more from tonight that would start bombarding heaven, asking and asking and asking, seeking and seeking and seeking, knocking and knocking and knocking, and having it answered, finding, and doors opening, and labors to go. I would encourage you to consider this. They don't sign up for it there. I was some surprised, but it's sort of a covenant between them and God that you said I should pray in Luke 10:2, and 10:02 every day that I can, I want to stop and pray for laborers. Other times, other places, pray for the multitudes of requests. Forgive yourself for praying for laborers. Can you imagine if we as a church could double those we've sent out? Or triple it? It's humorously been said, we're the most laying on have hands church around. Even the charismatics fail. Well, we licensed one in the ministry. We sent one to Brazil. Tonight we'll be sending 6 more on to Brazil. Wouldn't it be great if we did this several times a year? It could be. It should be. And if our hearts get burdened, it must be, and God will see it happen. It's not dependent on who we are or what we have. It's dependent on the Lord of the harvest to start sending out laborers into the harvest fields. So I urge you to ponder this and consider this. And maybe God make you of the special dozen. And if there are 21 in on it, won't bother me a bit. If there are only 3, that will bother me. Because I know several already in on it that are here tonight. I ask you, will you consider Luke 10:2 as a direct command and this possible way of being able to obey this command? Very simple yet profound. Together, wherever we are scattered, we have one request. And they know that request is going to swell up at 10:02 because they are God's people going to be praying. You imagine how the angels feel. Jesus said to do something and we don't. You imagine how they feel when we do it. You imagine how the Father feels. Who would answer? We're to pray to, and he would provide. If we don't, or if we do. I lay it in front of you for your consideration. Let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, help us look at this and find a way and schedule a way to obey. If it's not at that time, then some other time. But please keep us from telling you at no time or some other time. Help us to find the time, the place, and the way. Please give us laborers we need in the church. Please give us laborers for the ministries we're already involved in. Please send out laborers into the empty harvest fields to initiate works for your glory. Help us to do the praying we need. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we'll have a hymn, Lord, Teach Us to Pray, and we'll get on to the matter of the commissioning of the workers. Brother Mark, if you'll find that hymn, come lead us.